today, boy, you better get on over there. Come on now. Yeah. It's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Praise God. Today we are going to continue on in our series on family discipleship. And we have, over the last few weeks, been working our way down through Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to continue in that this week. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn it to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll read that here in just a few seconds. As we are going through this, what I'm hoping that you are beginning to gather is that while discipleship can happen in a lot of different environments, we want to ensure that discipleship is definitely happening in our homes, right? And sometimes we can be so focused on trying to figure out what God is doing in other places that sometimes we can kind of miss what's right in front of us, right? And so what I've been trying to do this month, and we're going to continue to focus on this even throughout the year in different ways. But what I'm trying to do is trying to show you, to kind of give you some tools and to show you some ways that you can begin discipling people in your home right now, right? For example, last week we talked about the importance of telling your story. And what I want to just sort of follow that up with is to say that it is so important that your family knows your story of how God has worked in your life. It's important that your family knows whether it's parents and grandparents, whether it's kids, nieces, nephews, whether it's spouse or brothers and sisters, right? Like, it's important that you share with them what God has done in your life and even what God is doing even right now. But here's the thing, and I don't know that I really got into this too much last week, but I want to just kind of go back there long enough to say this. When you're telling your story, remember we talked last week about we don't want to just give information, right? We want to tell our story about what God has done in us. Your story includes what it felt like to be in that, right? So as you're telling your story, make sure that you talk about what it felt like to be in those situations. Because here's the truth. People may not be able to relate with where you have been. Like, for example, if you were a carpenter, they may not be able to relate with you as a carpenter. If you were a teacher, they may not be able to relate with you as a teacher. But if you felt lonely in that, They will know what it is to feel lonely. And so even if they can't connect with you as a teacher or a carpenter or whatever else, they will be able to connect with the feelings that you felt. And in that connection, they'll be able to know that the God that worked in you can also work in them. Right? So today what we're going to do is we're going to continue going. We're going to do these last couple of verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to see that not only did Moses, as he was telling the Israelites here, remember, with the book of Deuteronomy, he's kind of giving them this word before they go into the promised land, because he can't go with them, right? And so when they go, he's telling them pass this down to your children. Like, discipleship is not just something for the priests to be doing, but that's something that families ought to be doing, right? But he says, when you get there and your kids start asking you about stuff, don't just give them the information. Like, tell them the story about what God has done. And then today what we're going to talk about is that Moses doesn't just stop by telling them what to do, but he also gets into why they ought to do it. So that's where we're gonna get to today. Let me pray, and then let me read the scripture here first. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. So again, in verses 20 through 23, he's just kind of giving the instruction of when they ask about why we have these commands and precepts to follow. You tell them about how God has brought you from Egypt to now, right? How he's brought you to this promised land. And then he picks it up there in verse 24. It says, "The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as He commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank You so much for how good You have been to us. I thank You, Lord, that You have put us in families that where we can disciple one another. And I thank You, Lord, that You have given us some promises and that You've even shown us why we need to follow those, God. I just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that You would help us all to hear from You right now. That we would hear from You directly. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be Yours. That Your message alone would be heard in this place, God, and that You would be glorified by the way that we obey You and Your word. Lead us, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. We're about to do something a little crazy here. I talked to Boyce before service here. And I told him, I said, Boyce, I want to do kind of a crazy trust walk thing. And I was wanting to know if maybe you'd lead me through that. He seemed very eager, actually. So just so you know, I told him, I said, I want to do something, but I don't really want to know what it is. So I saw that there's a sheet here with some, I don't know what is under the sheet, or even if he's pulled the sheet back at all. But Boyce is going to give me some direction so that I can do whatever it is that he has deemed necessary for me to do. So, Boyce, are you out there?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Now, at your feet, you'll notice there are seams in the platform.
Yes, I'm on a seam.
Okay. All right. Go to where you find two seams that meet. Okay. You can take a 90-degree turn toward...
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I'm on it.
And walk on the seam till the seam ends.
Straight?
Or go straight. Yes,
okay.
Walk straight.
Y'all, I want you to know, I don't know where the end of the stage is now. This is...
You will have 4 feet before the end of the stage, so
okay.
The seam ends. So.
I feel like I'm walking on a tightrope on a skyscraper right now.
All right. You'll
find... Oh, man, okay. I thought that was the edge. Whew, okay.
All right, now take... Turn to your left.
Left, all right.
And go straight, and you're going to run into the stair railing.
Okay.
All right, so...
Am I close?
That. You're getting close.
Okay. So. Oh, man! Woo! All right.
Okay. So go down the steps.
Okay.
Take two or three steps.
All right.
And then on your right-hand side, you'll feel the edge of the stage or the platform.
Okay. Want to make sure that's on the last step.
All right, so make your way around the stage.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're like halfway up that edge.
All right.
Go then. All right, you're almost there. Now take another left.
This left?
I'm sorry.
Whew! All right, come on now.
Keep going. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're another good 12, 15 feet away. So just keep on coming, keep on coming.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to fall off the end of the earth here anytime.
No, you're fine. Are you almost there? All right, stop there.
Okay.
All right, now with your left hand, you're going to find the sheet. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
You can
I know where I am now.
Woo! Yes, okay. So you're behind the community.
Yeah.
You can take the sheet away. Take the sheet off. No one tells Pastor what else.
I'm not going to knock anything over, am I?
No. Okay. Now then, find your way back to the communion table.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Go directly behind the communion table in the middle.
Okay.
You're going to reach out with both hands. You're going to find two boxes.
I know that I can trust you, boys, but this is really unnerving. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
All right, two boxes. Yes.
Okay. If you will open up each box, nothing is going to bite you or jump out or nothing. But
open both boxes.
You'll open both boxes.
Okay.
One box will be empty. One box will have something in it. Will have some shred of paper.
All right. I think this is the empty and this
okay.
is the full.
If you will simply take out the contents of one box and put it in the other box.
Okay. There we go. All right.
Okay. You've got it out of the one box now. Put what you took out. Put in the other box. Yeah, but that hand
there. Yes, I got yes. This one's empty now.
That
right?
one's empty. You can, yeah. You
okay,
can
that one's full now. Is it in the box? No, it's not.
It's in front of
I missed the box altogether. What
you
am I doing?
The box altogether.
There we go. This flap messed me up here. Okay, I got it.
Right.
Okay.
Now then, just shoe each box to either end of the, you can just push them off either end of the table.
Push the boxes off the end of the table.
Yeah, just so the table's clear. Okay. Now then, in front of you, toward the front of the communion table, is something I need you to reach for.
Am I reaching high or reaching low?
It's going to be sitting on the table. It's not very high. I need you to reach for that object. There you go.
Okay. All right. Got it. This
with both hands.
Hurry. Okay. Go ahead.
Put it on your head.
Okay. Lord, make a way. All right. All right.
Because you were so diligent in following my simple instructions, you now have the crown of life.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You may now take off your blindfold.
Okay. All right. I'm going to set this back down here, too. All right. Whew. That was, I asked them to do it, and that was still unnerving. I'm not going to lie. All right. So, here's what I want you to recognize in all of this. As Boyce was giving me direction to come around and everything, I had no idea what it was that he was going to be having me do or that he was going to be doing to me, right? And I could have, particularly, in all seriousness, when I was walking over here, I really thought I was falling off the edge of the platform. You could probably tell. I thought I was a goner for sure. Now, what I could have done is, instead of coming this way, and in my fear, I could have said, I'm not doing that. I'm just going this, blindfolded, mind you, right? So I'm not doing that and just take off the other way. I could have also just sat down and said, well, I don't know where I'm going, so I'm not going anywhere, right? I could have also said, well, moving things from one box to another is just dumb, right? There's no point to that at all. Why should I even do that just because he's telling me to do it, right? Here's what I want you to see in all this, is that a lot of times these are the very things that we do when we ought to be following God, right? The Lord is giving us instruction for things that we can't see, right? We don't know that the crown of life, that was a good touch there. We don't know that the crown of life is even out there, right? I want you to know my eyelashes are going eight different directions right now, by the way. This blindfold really got me. But we don't even know that it's out there, right? We don't understand the whole process and everything like that. And so sometimes when we don't know why we're doing a certain thing, we get really frustrated with the process real early. And we'll either give up or we'll just run the opposite way while we're still blindfolded. Right? Now, if I were to be standing over here and with the blindfold on, just decided, okay, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to start running this way. We would all be a little nervous, right? We'd all be a little nervous. Because we all know that at some point, I'm going to get to the end of that stage. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. Right? And we all know that as well. But so many times, that's where we find ourselves too. Now, here's the other thing, is that as we're trying to disciple other people, we may be trying to lead people places where we've been ourselves, right? If I'd have known what was happening here, right, I could have found the scene when I started, I could have walked right down, I could have counted the steps, right, I could have gotten to the end, I could have shimmied my little way over, I could have kicked the thing, I could have walked on around, I could have done it without Boyce even telling me about it. If I'd already done it, I'd have the confidence to do it again. But the whole nature of discipleship is that we are leading people into things that we may have already experienced, but they never have. Right? And so we look at this thing and say, oh, well, it's simple. You just pray and believe. Well, sometimes pray and believe feels like you're falling off a cliff. It feels like you're not doing it. It feels like you're just not doing anything sometimes. And so, as disciple makers then, particularly in our family, what we've got to be intentional about is not getting caught up in just telling people what to do, but to tell people why it is so important, right? That's where we get back into the scripture here, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. It says, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. Moses was telling them that if you do this thing on your own, like if you get in the promised land, talking to the Israelites now, Moses is talking to them and he's saying, if you try to do this thing on your own, look, I don't know what might happen. But I'm telling you right now, God is faithful. And if you will be faithful to him, he will be faithful to you. So when you get into that promised land, Israelites, when you get into that promised land, if you will just remain faithful to his commands, remain faithful to the decrees, right? Remain faithful to what he's told you to do, then you can rest assured he'll keep you alive. Amen. He'll prosper you. He'll give you increase. He'll show you the way. He'll do some things even in you spiritually. Like, you'll see the hand of God at work in your life. But he will keep you if you do these things, right? What Moses didn't say was, you guys just need to stop being so stubborn and just do what I'm telling you to do. Right? He didn't say, you know what, I'm sick of repeating myself. Just do it and be quiet. Right? He didn't say, well, it's easy. Just do this. Right? No. He told them, like, yes, here are the decrees, laws, and commands that I have for you. And the reason why it's important to do this is because when we do, God is going to keep us alive. Pull this over to a New Testament context here, right? Because Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in particular, this Pharisee who kind of comes over in the night and he's asking these questions and everything, and Jesus begins talking to him about being born again, right? He says, unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, right? Like, you can have no part, like, that is salvation, to be born again, to be made alive again. See, what Jesus was trying to say was that we don't recognize it, but until we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, until we really believe him to be the Lord of our lives and really trust him that we would be one of his disciples as well, not just that we are able to get into heaven, but that we're able to live with him and for him even now. See, when we believe that, then we get this new life, but until we believe that, we are actually living dead. Right? We're living dead. Now, go back to what Moses is saying here. When we obey the decrees, laws, and commands that God has given, he will keep us alive. See, that's why Jesus came. Jesus lived and died and rose again so that we could be kept alive, so that we could be made alive, so that we could be protected, and that we could be find ourselves in the refuge of who God is and all that Jesus has done for us. Like, we're able to be kept alive by the power of the Holy Spirit that fills us when we submit ourselves fully to him. Like, he is able to keep us alive. But until we really put our faith in him, we are only walking dead. See, I don't want you to show up on a Sunday morning and think that by being here, you're good. All right? Again, let me be clear. Pastor's not saying that he doesn't want you here on Sunday morning. Amen. Right? But what I am saying is that you being here on a Sunday morning may or may not actually impact what's going on in your life spiritually. Right? Reading your Bible is a great, great thing. But it's entirely possible to read your Bible and get nothing out of it. Right? Prayer is a wonderful thing. But it is entirely possible to pray a prayer and it not actually mean anything to you or to God for that matter. Because there's no faith involved in that. See, the truth is that just showing up here on a Sunday morning doesn't mean that we are alive. No, it is our faith in Jesus Christ, and it is our lives responding to the love that He has given us. It is our lives saying, Lord, thank you for loving me by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to give my everything for you. Lord, I'm going to follow the laws, decrees, and commands that Christ has given me, that I would take off the old self, and that I'd be made new, and this whole new person. I'm going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we are not only made alive, but kept alive in Him. Amen. He is able to do that. But we don't just tell people, hey, show up on a Sunday morning. We don't just tell people, hey, read your Bible and pray. We don't just tell people, oh, well, you just need to fast, or you just need to be patient, or you just need to whatever. No, what we just need to do is to share why those things are so important. Amen. We need to talk about the fact that reading the Bible is great and everything, but what it really does is it equips us and empowers us to have some tools to fight against the schemes of the enemy. What reading the Bible does is it reminds us of the promises of God that are true for us even when times are hard. What reading the Bible does for us is it reminds us of who God is, and it shows us of His great love for us. And so that when we're in these hard times, we might forget what's going on, but when we hide the Word in our heart, then we're able to remember what is true, and we don't have to go down the path of lies. Amen. Right? Amen. You notice that there's a difference between saying just read your Bible and talking about why it's so important for you to read your Bible, right? There's a difference between telling somebody to pray and actually talking about why it's so important for you to pray, like how prayer has impacted your life, how you've seen answers to prayer, how you have been personally encouraged by the prayers of others. Like that is so pivotal. It's more than just telling people what to do. But when we tell them why it is so important, then there's a new life that comes to it. There's a new motivation to that. There's a new understanding of all that is there. Verse 25. Let me just read this for you one more time. It says, "And if we are careful to obey all the law before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." See, Moses wanted the Israelites to know that they could be made righteous. Yes. They could be made righteous. And we can too. And what's powerful about that is we may look at ourselves and all we can see are all the things that we've done wrong. We can look at ourselves and see all the things that make us unrighteous in front of Him. We can see all those things that show that all the things that we have not done right according to God. It's easy for us to see those things, right? But what Moses is sharing with the Israelites, and I believe what Jesus has shared with us, is that there is a way that we can be made right, right? And it, for us, one of the things that we have seen, and that Paul in particular has talked a lot about in his letters, is that the law was only able to go so far, right, to reveal our sin to us. But praise God, He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross that we might. might not just be stuck in the law, but that as we actually put our faith in Him, like Jesus becomes our righteousness. So that when we stand before the judge, we can know that when He looks at us, like we've got Jesus on our side, who is there to say, oh, no, like I know that they have sinned. And when we stand before the judge, there is never a time we're going to be able to say, well, oh, I've never sinned. No, we have to just admit our sin. But Jesus is there to say, oh, but don't worry, it's already been paid for. The punishment has already been taken care of. I've already taken care of that on the cross. My shed blood was enough for them that they can be made righteous. See, when we actually submit ourselves to a life with Jesus Christ, when we submit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in us, then we are not standing in the place of judgment before God on our own accord, but rather we stand there with Jesus behind Jesus, actually, as He is standing in front of us to say, no, I've already paid the punishment. They're free. You're free. Be free for all of eternity. I want to invite the worship team to come back up here. As we are seeking to be disciples, to make disciples, it is very important for us to share with others what it is that God has said and what it is that God has done. But it is vitally important as well that we share why it is that God has done those things. It's not just so that we would be religious. It's not just so that we would show up on a Sunday morning. It's because He wants us to be alive. He wants us to stand righteous before Him. He wants to raise up an army. Like He wants to raise up some disciple makers. He wants to raise up His family to be able to live in all the benefits that He has provided. Right? That is why we do what we do. And when we are sharing our stories with our family, when we're sharing our stories with those around us, we have to be sure that we are not just sharing what to do, but why it is so important, why it has impacted our lives so much, and why it will impact their lives too. Stand with me, please. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. And as we do, I just want you to recognize that this is a time for you to respond to God's why. You're not just here this morning so that you can just check this box off your list of, yep, I attended worship today. Okay, I can go back home and be done now. No, I just wonder if the reason why you are here today is because God really wanted you to become part of His family today. Maybe you've never actually surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never actually said, you know what? It's beyond just the stuff that I have to do. I know why it is I have to do it, and I can't do anything else. Maybe you just want to surrender your life to Him totally and completely today. And I just want you to know, I would love to pray with you to help make that happen today. Maybe you've got some people that are on your heart that God is revealing to you that He really wants you to be discipling, that He really wants you to be investing in, He really wants you to be pouring your life into. And maybe you really sense that God is showing you some ways and how to do that. I want you to be praying, even as we're singing here, that God would reveal to you those people and reveal to you how you can be successful in those ways. Let me pray. Lord God, thank You so much. Thank You for showing us what to do and why it is so important. Help us, Lord, even in times where we feel blinded. God, help us just to move forward in You, to trust Your word, to trust Your guidance, to just say yes to You, even when we're afraid. Help us, Lord, not just to sit down and in the frustration or confusion, but Lord, to just go with You. Help us, Father, to go with You even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.